Father, as always, we thank you again, Lord, this morning, and thank you for gathering us together. Unto you shall the gathering of the people be. And Lord, as you indicated in the scriptures, that daily and in one accord, they had their fellowship. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us this platform to fellowship together daily and in one accord. And as we look into the perfect law of liberty this morning, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And let it be so. Even on today, light will shine into our hearts. Understanding will come. And we will bless the name of the Lord and be encouraged this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to talk about the Lord will not forget you, but he will remember you. The Lord will remember you. Hallelujah. He will never forget you, but he will remember you. Now we're going to look at a few, one or two or so or more stories in the Bible where the Lord actually did remember. But here, first of all, is a scripture that we want to read together this morning. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49. And I'm going to read about three verses there from verse 15. Isaiah 49 and verse 15. This is the Lord's, this is the Lord himself asking, you know, this question. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion? This is from verse 15 of Isaiah 49. On the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget you. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. My children, you know, said that make haste, that destroy us, and they that made thee go haste shall go forth of thee. You know, everything that troubled you before shall get away from you. You know, those that made thee waste and took advantage of you before will go away from you. So the Lord said, look, I will never forget you. Even though a woman may sometimes forget even her sucking child, the Lord said, I will never forget you. And the psalm that we read, the psalm of praise we read this morning in Psalm 136, verse 23 says, the Lord has remembered us in our low estate. Hallelujah. Now, did you ever feel like that? Well, there were times when, you know, you just felt like, well, nobody cared. Everything wasn't going right. Everything is just going the opposite direction. For the mercy of the Lord. Someone's mic is open. Your mic is open. So the Lord will remember us. He will never forget us. Hallelujah. He will never forget you. Here is something the Lord says in Deuteronomy. Chapter 31 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. The Lord makes this declaration, you know, for the people of Israel. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be afraid of anything that you come your way or people roadblocks. In their own case, it was the, you know, the different countries that they had to overcome in order to get to, you know, the different nations they had to overcome in order to get to the promised land. In your case, maybe, well, whatever the challenges are, you know, the Lord said, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not and be not dismayed. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, and he will not forsake you. Ah, isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful promise. And that's all I want us to dwell on this morning. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about the same thing, quoting this very verse. You know, he said, look, in Hebrews 13 and 5, he said, the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's look at a few stories that bear this out. This is our exhortation this morning, and I'm going to use that to pray over the room. In the book of Genesis, chapter 8, and verse 1, and God remembered Noah, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. Now, remember the story of Noah? You already know that, right? How that the Lord was going to destroy the world that then was by the flood. And Noah was instructed to build the ark. Took him a long time, 120 years preparing. And God brought all the animals to him. He selected two by two and put them in the ark. Well, all of that was the easy part. Even though it was tremendous authority he exhibited over the animals, that was the easy part. The hard part was when he and his family were in the ark and the thing was being tossed up and down for 150 days or so, and they never knew whether or not they were going to come out of that thing and make it to shore or make it back to land. And I believe that at that time his family would have said, you know, maybe sometimes they would be afraid and ask him, are you sure this is what God said? I mean, right here in the middle of nowhere, this thing is up and down. And it didn't seem like there would be any end to it. You know, the fountains of the deeps, you know, the windows of heaven opened up. God poured out his wrath in the form of this flood over the earth and destroyed every living thing except those that were in the ark. And it went on and on and on and on for a long time. You know, for a long time. But God, one day, remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. My goodness. And the Lord began to send deliverance, a wind that will pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. That means they receded and they began to stop and even go back. You know, now God remembered Noah, you know, after 5 months or more of being in this very precarious situation where he didn't know, they probably didn't know, perhaps except Lot, that they would make it, because, you know, it didn't look like they were going to make it, but they were tossed up and down. You know, and they couldn't even, they had no way of predicting when the storm and the flood would end. You know, sometimes, you know, that's like us today. We're going through things, and it just seems like it's day after day after day, week after week after week. Sometimes even month after month and after month and after month. But it took 150 days. We're told that at the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. 5 months, they went through this up and down. But the Lord began to change it. It reminds me of a dear brother that we have been praying for. Some of you have heard us talk about Elder James. It's been 5 months that he's been in this precarious situation, like up and down. Sometimes it's, you know, a little bit of relief. Sometimes it's worse. Sometimes it's one step forward, two steps backwards. And he just, I mean, it's like, when is this thing going to end? But the Lord, he remembered Noah. At the end of that 150 days, he did remember Noah. And the waters begin to assuage. And we pray that the waters, you know, thank God that the waters have not been able to drown him. Because Isaiah 43 and verse 2 tells us that, look, when you go through different things like fires and floods and storms and tempests, they will not overwhelm you. You'll go through for sure. Because he said, when, not if, you know, so we expect that, you know, at different times we may go through, and what you may go through may be different than what I may go through, you know, but each one of us will have to experience these fires and these rivers and floods that could potentially swallow us up, you know, or we could get burnt and different things. But here's the promise of God. When thou passest through the waters, Isaiah 43 and 2, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, hallelujah, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Well, and the Lord reminded them that, for I am the Lord thy God. Glory to God. So, we're trusting God that no matter how long, up and down, we've been through the storm and through all of these things, somehow the Lord will not forget you, but he will remember you. Praise the Lord. Even again, the Lord in Genesis chapter 19, I'm just reading a few stories where the Lord actually remembered, you know, people. In Genesis 19 and verse 29, we're told that it came to pass when God would destroy the cities of the plain, which included Sodom and Gomorrah and so forth, that God remembered Abraham, you know, and the Lord sent out, you know, Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Hallelujah. So God remembered Abraham, and for Abraham's sake, the Lord pulled Lot out of there. Here's another good one. In Genesis chapter 30, you know, and verse 22. Now, Rachel was someone that, you know, Jacob really loved, you know, but it didn't turn out that way. I mean, he was tricked. You know, his father-in-law gave him her sister initially, and he didn't care for that at all, you know, because he wanted Rachel, but he was tricked into getting Leah. And it turned out that his heart was toward Rachel, not so much toward Leah. And in their stories, when God saw that Leah was hated of Jacob, well, hated there was a strong word, but disliked because of how he was tricked into that situation, the Lord remembered her and had mercy on her, and she began to conceive. In the meantime, Rachel was barren. You know, but after a while, the Lord remembered Rachel also. And he hearkened unto her, you know, he opened her womb. Genesis 30 and verse 22. You know, so these are some stories, you know, where, you know, people went through all kinds of things, you know, but the Lord remembered you know, the people and so on. There's 1 Samuel also, the story of Anna, you know, and Elkanah. And Anna was, Elkanah had 2 wives. The other one was barren, but Anna was barren. And she went in the sorrow of her spirit every day. But one day we're told that the Lord remembered her. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19 says, the Lord remembered her. Praise the Lord. And when the Lord remembered her, he changed that story. Hallelujah. And many stories like that throughout the scriptures where God would remember the people. Psalm 136 again, verse 23 says, he remembered us in our low estate. You know, we see also that, you know, Elizabeth, you know, the mother of John the Baptist, at one time, she was struggling with this thing of not having a child for a while. And after a while, the Lord remembered them, you know, in the book of, you can read that story in the book of Luke. The Lord remembered her and favored her. And we're told that even the angel said, look, there is nothing that is impossible, you know, for the Lord. And he told Mary that, look, your cousin Elizabeth, who was called barren, is now 6 months pregnant. You can read that all in chapter 1 of the book of Luke. Many places throughout the scriptures were told that the Lord remembered his people. And in fact, you know, sometimes those prayers that we are told that are stored in the golden vials, you might think of them this way. You know, those things come up before the Lord for a memorial, and he would remember her. Hallelujah. In fact, the Lord sometimes also would remember his covenant, which he made. You know, sometimes the reason why the Lord, you know, reached out and blessed the people of Israel was because he remembered his covenant to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And because of that, he would go down and deliver them out of their distresses many times, you know. And we also ought to also remember the Lord. You know, we should always remember the word of the Lord that he has said that he will never forsake us nor leave us. No matter what we are going through, we also should remember the word of the Lord. And let's not be like the children of Israel that forgot the Lord. They forgot the multitude of his mercies, but they provoked him, we're told, at the sea and even at the Red Sea. Even despite all of the things in Psalm 106, you know, we're told that, you know, in Psalm 106 verse 7, that the children of Israel, they forgot the Lord. They provoked him, you know, at sea and so forth. But the Lord himself, you know, he remembered them. In Psalm 106 verse 45, the Lord remembered them because of his covenant, which he has declared even before that time. He remembered that covenant. And I pray that the Lord will remember the word which he has spoken to us. For 2 years now, the Lord has been telling us that we shall emerge and we shall experience a quantum leap. And, you know, despite all of that, sometimes, you know, some of us are still facing difficulties. Or the difficulty that you are in, even before the word of the Lord came to you, did not seem to improve. Or sometimes it won't appear to get worse. But the Lord will remember his word, and he will remember his covenant toward you. The word which you have spoken, he will remember it to 1,000 generations, we are told. And his covenant and his mercies. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord is the one, you know, that spoke the word. He is the one also that watches over the word. And he will bring it to pass. You know, let us not doubt the word of the Lord when it looks like, you know, the thing is not happening. You know, sometimes people say, well, where is he that brought them out of the sea and the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that, you know, did this and did that and so forth? Well, you might say, where are all the miracles which we have heard of? Where is the promise of God which he has spoken? Why is it not coming? And so forth. Well, you know, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 18 tells us that, look, whatever it is that you've been going through, there is most certainly an end to it. And what you are, you know, you should be expecting the word of the Lord to come to pass, and it will not be cut off. That expectation will not be cut off. For surely, he said, there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Now, what is your expectation? What is the thing that we are believing God for? I'm going to pray over the room today with that. Just for you to know, today a short exhortation to remind you that the Lord has not forgotten you, but he will remember you. And he will visit you, you know, at the time of the promise. You know, many things tell us, many stories, a few stories here and there in the Bible tell us about the time of the promise as it begins to draw near, and what the Lord will actually do, you know, to cause his word to come to pass. Stephen gave this powerful, powerful exhortation in Acts chapter 17, and the sermon that he preached to the Jews at the time. And he told the story, and as he began to break it down, you know, he came to this point in Acts 7 verse 17 where he said, "But when the time of the promise drew near, which God has sworn to Abraham," you know, so there is a time of promise in his mind. In fact, he told Abraham, before all of this happened, even before Abraham had a chance, said, look, of a short, know of a surety, next in Genesis chapter 15, you know, he said, know of a surety that sometime down the road, your seed will become a stranger in a land that they know not, and they will torment them. You know, that's Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. And they will torment them and afflict them for 400 years. But later on, that nation whom they served, I will judge. And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. I mean, God told Abraham this thing way before it ever even happened. Well, so there was a timing in God's mind. Why it was had to be that long that they will be in that place, you know, it's all up to the Lord. But when the time of promise drew near, according to Acts chapter 7 and verse 17, when that time of promise drew near, which God had spoken of, you know, to Abraham, then God began to cause certain things to happen. And this is what happens when the Lord remembers you. When the Lord would remember you, he would begin to cause things to shift and move into position. Now, some things may actually happen that may appear to make your situation a little bit worse before it gets better. But bear in mind that it is the Lord that is remembering you and causing things to shift. In the story of the children of Israel, when the Lord remembered his covenant and it was time to bring them forth, their situation actually got worse. you know, because, you know, they said to Moses, look, you have made our situation worse. And even Pharaoh said to the taskmasters, these people are idle. They are idle. That's why they are thinking of going to worship God in some wilderness. Make their situation worse. Let there be more burdens laden upon them, and don't even give them straw to make bricks. Let them go find for themselves. Yet, do not diminish the tale of the bricks that they were bringing before. And so, their situation actually got worse before it got better. And so, I want us to consider that today. You know, that sometimes when God is fixing to change that story, you know, things may happen in a way where things actually could get worse for a little bit before they actually get better. But remember the high hand of the Lord that brought them out of Egypt. So let's consider this story again in Acts chapter 7 verse 17. When the time of promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, and the people, you know, God remembered them. So the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. And then another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, cast out their young to the end that they might not live, you know, and so forth, try to kill them all. And then when God finally would send back Moses to go and be the deliverer, you saw all the things that happened. The situation got worse. And these people said, look, you should have let us alone, you know, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, God brought them out with a high hand. Now, what is it that you may be going through, you know, today, or you may have been going through up till now? I want you to remember that the Lord will not forget you. He has never forgotten you. He said it himself. I will never forsake you. Neither will I leave you alone. But just as the Lord will remember us, we also must remember the Lord. Remember the word of the Lord which he spoke to you. Call it to remembrance. And this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. Bring those things to our remembrance which the Lord has already spoken. Remember that his word will not fall to the ground without being fulfilled. So, whereas the situation that you are in may appear to linger, the Lord will not forget you. He said, can a woman forget her child, her suckling child? You know, and so forth. Well, they may forget, saith the Lord, but yet I will never forget you. You can see what the Lord is trying to say there. As dear as a woman, as a little baby is to the woman, you know, but sometimes she may actually forget, the Lord said. But he said, I will never, even though the woman may forget, which naturally she shouldn't. But the Lord said, well, even though they might, but in my case, I will never forget you. He said, I have engraved you in the graving of my palms. You know, the hands, God will never, never, never forget us. I want to read Genesis 16 and verse 13. And some of you may remember this story. Hagar had been cast out and so forth. And she went in the wilderness and all of that. The angel of the Lord found her. And, and here's what she said at the end of the day. You know, despite the fact that she was an outcast, she'd been cast out, the Lord remembered her and still gave her a wonderful promise that, you know, the son that was cast out with her will also be exceedingly great. But here's what she said at the end, she called the name of the Lord. Genesis 16 and 13. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, called him El Roi. It's what the Hebrew word for thou God seest me. You know, El Roi, he said, look, because I have looked, you know, what do I have here? And how do you see me? Well, he called the place, you know, Beer Lahai Roy, and it's El Roy, the God that seeth me. So God sees you. God definitely sees you, and he will never forget you. Let me also read Isaiah 40, verse 27 through about 29 or 30 or something. And then I am going to use that to pray for some, for you, especially Alexis. Praise the Lord. And here's what it says. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, that my way is hid from the Lord? And the judgment, my judgment is passed over from my God. I mean, why is it that, you know, God has not cared about my cause? You know, why is it that he's allowing these things to linger for me? You know, I'm dealing with one situation and then yet another one comes to blast me and, you know, and so forth. And I say, why? Well, God will ask his own questions too. Hast thou not known, he said, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. I'm going to have us pray, and I'm going to pray in a minute, just a short exhortation I wanted to give today. To let you know that God will never forget your situation. Never forget your situation. And the devil will try to let you know that God has forgotten you. And, you know, and Joseph was cast into the dungeon. I'm sure the devil told him, you know, God has forgotten you. When he was being carried to a faraway country, which he didn't know where they were going at the time, the band of Ishmaelites that came carried him away as a slave. The whole time, I'm sure the devil told him, God has forgotten you. You will never see your dad again. You know, and when all those evil things and bad things were happening to him, even when he was being cast into prison, and even when he told the other man, the butler, remember me before Pharaoh when you get restored. And the man forgot him for 2 years. The devil would have told the young man, you see, God has forgotten you. Even this man has forgotten you. You are going to rot in this prison forever. You're not coming out of here. And so the situation that you are in, the enemy may be whispering, that's to you. You know, it could be anything. You might have lost something that you're hoping to regain, and it doesn't look like you're going to regain it. You might have lost your job, you know, and it just doesn't look like there's any way that you can get it back or come back to that same place. You know, and the devil might whisper different things. He might have lost finances or lost this and lost that. And it seemed like, you know, you'll never get it back. But the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's just, if you can just bring yourself to the place to believe that, that's all really that Jesus wants. If you can only believe, Mark 9 and 23, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And what does it mean for us to believe the word of the Lord? Well, you take it as it is, that the Lord has said it and he would do it. I may not know how, and it's not for me to know how. It is for me to know what he has promised. How? That's up to him. All I got to know is what he promised. Even when is up to him. From my own perspective, I'm believing at the moment of prayer, because Jesus said that. When you pray, he said, what things soever you desire. When you pray, he wants you to believe at that time. That's the one that you can control. You can control your prayer, the posture that you have during prayer. You can control that. But we cannot control the when from God's perspective. It is our hope and our desire that when we pray about something, it's instantaneous. And he just do it like that. Well, maybe and maybe not. Because this scripture in Mark 11 and 24 says, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now, that's the moment at which you're praying. Your responsibility is to believe that you receive those things. Now, God's responsibility is to get those things to you. Now, will they be immediate? We don't know. Most of the time it isn't. Sometimes it is. But Jesus said, ye shall have them. You know, that means, you know, it's coming. Maybe coming later, but it's coming. And so let us not allow the devil to trick us into thinking God has forgotten us. And sometimes people look at situation around them as well. You know, and even the people around you may taunt you. They can say, where is your God? You know, when Hannah was in her husband's wife, I mean house, Hannah, with the other woman, you know, the other woman even made fun of her until she vexed her soul, you know, because the other woman was bearing child and she wasn't. And so the devil may even gloat. You know, people may even look at your situation. But remember, my people shall never be ashamed. Hallelujah. The Lord said it multiple times, two times in a couple of verses, back to back in Joel chapter 2. In verse 25, he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. So there is something that of a necessity must be restored. For something to be restored, it means it was there at one time, then either lost or stolen, you know, or misplaced, or somehow it's no longer in its place. You know, and then the Lord said, I will restore, saith the Lord. And he said, look, you will remember, you will know that the Lord has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Joel chapter 2 and verse 26. And ye shall know that I am the Lord in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. I mean, he said it again. It's kind of like Jesus. Oftentimes he would say, verily, verily. He would say it twice. And the Lord said this thing twice. You will not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Well, but what if shame came? We heard this yesterday. You know, well, it means that you've got to stay right there with the Word of God and declare the Word of God. That the Lord already said he will not forsake me. So if it looks like you are forsaking, well, use the Word of God to encourage yourself. You know, that's all we got to do. There's no other way to put it. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, obeyeth the voice of his servant, I mean, believing the word of God and so on, and yet he's walking in darkness and had no light, and it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. He said, what did he say that he should do? Well, let him stay right there and trust in the Lord. Don't jump ship. You know, let him trust in the name of the Lord and let him stay upon his God. Well, and I say, well, let him remember the word of the Lord and let him, you know, bestir his soul, encourage his soul in the word of the Lord. That's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord, encouraged himself with the word of the Lord. For the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But we must be patient and wait for the Lord. And the reason many times we can make our situation worse is because we're not waiting patiently for the Lord. When you're in a tight spot financially, you can make it worse if you don't wait for the Lord. You can go and borrow money and then become indebted. And you put your neck under bondage even more. You know, but if we wait for the Lord, you might just see the salvation of the Lord. It might show you, give you inspiration and show you a way out. There's always a way out. But we've got to wait and see what the Lord will say. Are you waiting to see what the Lord will say? Did you know that whatever situation that you are in, the Lord is seeing it and he knows it? You know, they are told that Jesus knew that that man in John chapter 5 had been long time in that condition. He knew it. And so he went close to him and, you know, gave him encouragement. I will stand upon my watch, Habakkuk said. Now he set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. And what shall I answer when I'm reproved? Are you waiting to see what the Lord will say? Or are we running off in a different direction? Well, let us wait for the Lord. Sammy said, I waited patiently for the Lord, because he will never forget you. He will remember you. I'm going to pray now over the room. I just wanted to give a very short exhortation today. By the grace of God, I might be embarking on another different series tomorrow. We'll see what the Lord will bring. But today, I want to just give you this exhortation that the Lord will never forget you. And he has not forgotten you. And he will remember you. And if you feel like you are in a low estate right now, remember the word of the Lord. He lifted up the beggar out of the dunghill. Glory to God. And he set him among princes. Yea, even the princes of his people. You know, when you've been going through a lot of stuff, one day suddenly the Lord will remember you and bring you out of it and set you, you know, up. Raise you out of the dust. Psalm 113. He raised up the poor out of the dust. Verse 7. And lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. And the Lord has a way that he can turn situations around. Even things that appear dead at the moment. You know, it's not really dead. Jesus said, he said, well, it's not dead. It's just sleeping. Praise the Lord, which means he's going to wake up. Now, when you say dead, that is like, you know, it has some sense of finality to it. You know, but with the Lord, there really isn't anything dead. Because he is the one that raises the dead. And rather than burying that dead, he actually raises the dead and calleth those things that are not as though they already are. Those are the things that God can do, and he will do the same for you. God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. And because of those kind, that kind of understanding, Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. Against all odds, he believed the word of the Lord. You know, that he will become the father of nations. And it was counted as righteousness for him. May the Lord remember you in what might seem to be your low estate. Hallelujah. It will cause your head to be lifted up. There are many more stories, you know, but I just wanted to keep it brief today. Of all the people that God from time to time would remember them, individuals and even a group at times. Many times he would remember the children of Israel as a group, and many stories as individuals. He would remember them. Father, I pray for your children that are in the house today, and those that might listen later on to the replays, that the Lord God in his goodness and his mercy, for your mercy endureth forever, Lord, to 1,000 generations, may the Lord remember his people in due time. Remember every one of us, Lord. Remember your people, particularly those that feel like it's been a struggle. For 5 months, they were tossed up and down in that storm, and it looked like, you know, there was no way out. But the Lord, he made a way. He remembered them. And blessed be the name of the Lord that doth remember us. May the Lord remember you. And the word which the Lord has spoken for you, he will remember it. Glory to God. And even to many generations. He said, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. The faithful God. Hallelujah. That keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and that keep his commandments. Even to 1,000 generations, he will remember his word. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. And the Lord will remember his good word which he has spoken to you. And we remember you in what seems to be a low estate. And he will raise you up, cause you to ride upon your high places in the name of Jesus. I pray that we also, we will remember the word of the Lord. And we will not forget what the Lord has promised. Hallelujah. The scripture says, write those words which he has promised. Well, talk about his commandments in the same way as his promises. Write them and bind them upon your fists, your wrists. Put them as glasses in front of your eyes. Put them around your table. Put them on your doorposts. The promises of the Lord. That's right. That, you know, that you may remember and not forget what the Lord has promised, that he himself will never forget you, but he will remember you. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.